Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, thank you for this revelation that you have been saturating us with. Continue expanding our capacity for it, our understanding of it. Give us the faith to believe it and to encounter and experience it is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Come on. Open your Bibles with me. Where do you think we're going? To Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Glory to God. Your Bible should fall open there. Praise the Lord. And we are in this portion of the teaching where we're talking about renewing your mind for multiplication. Renewing your mind for multiplication. Now, let me just share this with you real quick, my brothers and sisters. And I'm not going to be long before you today. I just want you to see something. The thing that you have to understand, when I'm teaching spiritual truth, when I'm sharing a revelation, when I'm sharing what Jesus walked in and that he wants us to walk in it because he's in us and we're in him, I'm sharing this with you. I want you to understand that what we're hearing is not popular. It's not going to come easy. There are people around you who won't believe in it. For example, let's take the spiritual truth and the revelation on divine healing. Did you know a lot of Christians don't believe in divine healing? They believe, in other words, they believe that if God wants to heal you, he will heal you. Doesn't heal you, then you got to just put up with the sickness or the disease. That's how it's believed. Some of us were raised in that type of religious tradition. You can't find nowhere in the Bible because he says, by Jesus' stripes, ye are healed. That's period. That's the truth. Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So I understand that, that it is God's will to heal me, even though everybody may believe that. All right. So I got to understand that the will of God on these particular spiritual truths many times will be challenged by people you know. It could be challenged by family members because they're not walking in it. They're not releasing their faith for it. They're not believing God for it. In my own family, none of them were walking in the level and measure of divine healing that I'm walking in. But I had to separate myself from continuing to act like them, operate like them, think like them, talk like them. So when they're around me, they never hear me talk sickness, talk disease. They never hear me talk like them. And I have to be disciplined by that. Well, so do you. Okay, let's take something else. For example, you're seeing the word that it is the will of God to provide. Well, we know it's although it's God's will to provide, he says, my needs are met according to his riches and glory. And then what Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you and I both know a whole lot of people in want. Because just because it is a spiritual truth doesn't mean that it's going to become activated or accessible in your life. You got to get it. You got to release your faith for it. You got to believe for it. And so there are some who still believe, God only helps those who help themselves. That's not a scripture. That's not in the Bible. That's mankind thinking that that's how we got to do. You know, I got to pull my own self by the bootstraps and make life happen. No, I'm going to believe God. So it's the same thing with multiplication. I'm sharing this with you, the spiritual truth that God wants to release a grace and an anointing of multiplication in your life. And when we talk about multiplication, we're not just talking about money. No, we're talking about in every area of your life. There's multiplied healing. There's multiplied peace. There's multiplied wisdom. There's multiplied anointing. There's multiplied understanding. And so we see this, and we're going to look at it today. So look at Luke 5 real quick. Luke 5, verse 1. If you have it, say, I have it. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Okay, let me see this. Let me just get my timer ready here. Glory to God, because I don't want to go over time today. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And we'll stop there. Glory to God. So we see the end of this, in verse 10, we see where Jesus promises multiplied influence. That he says, from this moment forward, you shall be catchers of men. Well, that means that God is going to multiply your influence, that God is going to cause you to be a catalyst that causes multiplied impact in more than one person's life. So how do you get there? Well, you got to capture this revelation on multiplication. Always remember this. Everything in the kingdom of God is doable. As we walk by faith and not by sight and yield to the Spirit of God, because watch this. He said in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That includes being catchers of men. So my thing that we've been looking at, the point I've been making, is to get you out of this place where you stop accepting what happens to you and understand that the will of God for you is always more. The will of God for you is always better. The will of God for you is always increase. The will of God for you is always multiplication. Whether you've been taught that way, trained that way, whether you've been living that way, it's still so. Now, in my own life, I'm reaching for more, reaching for this multiplication. I understand it's by the Spirit of the Lord, but I want to be in position. Now, how do I be in position? I got to renew my mind. So go with me again to Genesis chapter 1. We've looked at this before. We're going to look at it again. Genesis chapter 1 real quick. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 28. Let me know when you get there by saying I'm there. Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Verse 28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Are y'all seeing that? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we've already established in this teaching that multiplication is the will of God. Everyone say multiplication is the will of God for me. Genesis 1:28 reveals the mandate for multiplication that God has given mankind. I have been purposing with the help of the Holy Spirit to establish your heart in the scriptural expectation of multiplication. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin living a life experiencing not just addition, but multiplied blessings, experiencing a multiplied impact and a multiplied effect. And everyone say, and we can do it too. Now, multiplication is increase at an amount equal to itself repeatedly. Repetitiously. Multiplication is increase at an amount equal to itself repetitiously. 2 times 2 is 4. We know that. Now, the sole purpose of this teaching is to bring you to this place where you raise your expectation and get your faith targeted to receive manifestation and demonstration in a multiplied fashion. Now, this is the part I want to add today, because we're talking about renewing your mind for multiplication still. We're in this because we want God to change our way of thinking, change our way of processing information, change the way we perceive things, change the way we understand things. And that's not going to happen by magic. It's going to happen by intentionally receiving the word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to wash us from all limitations and restrictions that and blindness that keeps us from believing God for this multiplication lifestyle. Now, put this down in your notes. The double is the minimum result of the multiplied factor. The double is the minimum result of the multiplied factor. For example, we see Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. So if you're going to believe God for anything, you ought to at least believe him for the double, because that's the minimum result of the multiplied factor. Are y'all with me? The double. We see the multiplication factor. We looked at this before already in this teaching. Jesus took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and multiplied them to feed over 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So it was possibly around 20,000 people, 2 fish and 5 loaves. And then what about in 2 Kings 4, the widow's oil was multiplied to pay off her debt, save her son. Remember, she went to the prophet and he told her, go borrow vessels. Well, God multiplied that oil so that she just kept pouring. But the minimum of the multiplication factor is the double. Now, let me show you this. Go to Mark chapter 4. You know this, but you've probably never associated with the multiplication factor. Mark chapter 4, on the parable of the sower. And he said this in verse 9. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. These are they which sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold or 30 times, some 60, and some 100. So 30-fold means 30 times, 60-fold means 60 times, and 100-fold means 100 times. How can you believe God for that? That's the multiplication factor. God wants you to understand it's his will for you to experience multiplication. We have in 1 Kings 17, the widow woman of Zarephath. She experienced multiplication in the meal barrel when Elijah asked her for some water. Then he said, can you make me a cake first? And she says, I don't have anything but a little cruse of oil and little meal in the barrel. Me and my son are going to eat that and die. And he told her, make me a cake first. And the Bible says the cruse of oil was multiplied and the meal in the barrel was multiplied. And they kept eating her, her son, and Elijah all through the famine. It was multiplied. So renewing my mind, I want to remind you of this again, renewing my mind for multiplication is causing my mind to become established in the multiplication mentality. The multiplication mentality, and to raise my expectation to live in a multiplied state. Now, I'm going to show you one verse, and I probably just stay here for the rest of the service because I'm not going to be long with this. Look at, you always hear me pray this over the offering, but I want you to look at it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, in order to raise your expectation and renew your mind for multiplication, it's going to take the word of God. Let me give you this. So that you can understand renewing the mind some more. We probably looked at this, but it bears repeating. Put this down in notes. Let's look at four things that help us in renewing the mind. Real quick. Number one, you've already had this in your notes, but it bears repeating. Number one, when I renew my mind, it transforms my decision-making process. When I renew my mind, I'm saying it a little different this morning, but that's okay. When I renew my mind, it transforms my decision-making process. It transforms my decision-making process. Now, how do I know? I'm going to take me, for example, I renewed my mind. Remember the days back in the day, and I would make decisions of fear. Fear controlled my decision-making. I didn't want me and my family to suffer. We struggled. I'm praying now. I'm believing God, but I'm still moved by fear. I'm praying and believing God, but I'm not at peace to trust. I got to make it happen. I got a wife and three kids. Fear controlled my decision-making. Watch this. And means fear controlled my movement. I wasn't in faith. But I kept telling myself I'm in, but I didn't have peace of mind that comes with faith. I didn't have the peace of heart that comes with faith. I didn't have the rest that comes with faith. I was worried about tomorrow. How are we going to eat? How the bills going to get paid? So I had to get in the word of God and find scriptures about provision, having needs met. Watch this, Rashad. And I had to look at those scriptures and speak them to myself. Mark, God said such and such. Mark, God said such and such. And even when I did that, it still wasn't real to me because I was kept feeling I got this wife and three kids. Now, this is way before Faith Word. So Faith Word wasn't even in existence yet. And God is training me how to believe him for provision. And can I be honest with you? I wasn't a good student. Because I'm struggling. Because you got to understand, nobody in my family operated this way. See, in a church, in a Pentecostal church I grew up in, they call living by faith not having a job. When I learned, if you can't live by faith with a job, you sure enough won't live by faith without one. Living by faith has nothing to do with a job or no job. Living by faith has everything to do with taking God at his word and putting it in your mouth, on your mind, and in your heart. Because faith is released with words confirmed by my actions and established by my thoughts. Is everybody with me? So I had to transform my way of thinking so that my decision-making process. And this is Pastor Mark. One of the things that God had to change my mind about. You ready for this? Because, man, I had a bad habit of this. I know y'all didn't. This is my testimony. I called everybody I could to help. I'm calling for some help. Calling mama. Calling friends. Help a brother out. And God would tell me, stop calling. And trust me. Stop calling and believe me. That was a major challenge for me. Trust me. And there were times that I was trying to trust him. And instead of it getting better, it got worse. And he still said, trust me. It was worse. And I'm looking at that wife and three kids. And she's not looking happy. And they got questions. Dad, what are we going to do? And I didn't have no answer. And all God is saying, trust me. He wanted me to renew my mind so he can transform my decision-making process. Now, let me help you. Also transforming my mind for the decision-making process, I had to get to this place where I had to lose my reputation and stop trying to make myself look good. Y'all, oh, Jesus. Because I wanted to look good to Cheryl. I wanted to look good to the kids. He says, lose your reputation. It's not about you. And that, for many men and women, is hard. Because many of us are afraid of being ashamed. And being embarrassed. And when you're walking by faith and you're believing God, you got to understand faith will come after that thing that you are ashamed about. What you are afraid of. All right, number two, since y'all love that so much. Number two. When I renew my mind, it will build my mental toughness. You'll build my mental toughness. Mentally, I will not crack under pressure. Mentally, I will be able to solve problems rather than feel overwhelmed by problems. When I renew my mind, it will build my mental toughness. I'll stop getting headaches because I'm going through something. You'll be able to look at a problem and have peace about how to resolve it. And if I don't know the answer or the solution, I know where to get it from, God. And right now, for some of us, the adversary is blinding us from a life of multiplication, all because we're not mentally tough to push for multiplication like Jesus did. Jesus had no problem. Somebody said, well, it's because he's a son of God. So are you. If you are saved and born again, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Jesus on earth, he stripped himself of all his Godhead authority so that he on earth, he was just a man filled with the Holy Ghost, believing the word of God, just like you are today. He wants you to know that I'm your example. And he didn't give in to mental pressure because he was mentally tough. Everyone say you have to be mentally tough to succeed and be victorious. Number three, renewing the mind. When you renew your mind, it will build conscious discipline. It'll discipline me consciously. Now, there is my conscious mind. There's my conscience mind. Then there's my core belief. My conscious mind is what you are aware of. It's what you're aware of. Conscious. What you're aware of. So I use this example all the time. It's just like when you first started learning how to drive. When you first started learning how to drive, you were nervous. It seemed like so much stuff to do. Look at the rearview mirror. Look at the other cars. How fast you're going. Looking at the speedometer. Don't turn the radio on. It's a distraction. Don't talk to me. I'm driving. When you first learn how to drive. So right now you are consciously trying to become aware of everything that you need to drive successfully. But then once it becomes second nature, now it leaves your conscious mind and comes down to your conscience mind where it's second nature. So now you drive with one finger. Eating a hamburger. That's my jam. Got the radio on. And then talking to somebody in the front seat and in the back seat. Why? It's second nature. You no longer have to be aware of everything because it's automatic. It's on automatic. That's how God made us. He says, get to the place where you discipline yourself consciously so that now it becomes part of your nature. Now you don't have to work it hard. You know how to think multiplication. Think multiply. Think expecting multiplication. And it's not hard because you know it's not on me anyway. It's just like in a car. You can't make the car go. All you do is put the key in or push the button now and push the button. That's all you do. And as soon as it don't start up, now you, some of you, what's wrong with this? Because you expect it to start. You expect it to go. And that's how God wants you to expect multiplication. Where it's second nature. But you got to discipline yourself. And so right now you got to discipline yourself to stop accepting the negative. Discipline yourself to stop talking the problem. Discipline yourself to stop worrying about, I'm not going to make it. You got to discipline yourself to stop worrying. Let me say that again. Discipline yourself to stop worrying. Because if you could do something about it, you would already do it. So now God, it has to be done by you. And that's a place of peace. And it doesn't come cheap. I used to be a champion worrier. I worried about everything. I know it's hard for y'all to see that now because I don't show no semblance of that, but that's how I used to be. See, Cheryl saw me in my developing years. And now I'm at this place where I'm solid. And it's not because I've gotten naturally older. It's because I become locked into the revelation of everything the Spirit of God has been teaching me. And you can too. But it's going to take a conscious discipline. So renewing the mind, when you renew your mind, you're going to build a conscious discipline. When you see something wrong, instead of panicking, you're going to say, God got this. That's why when Jesus saw Peter and said, launch out into the deep, he didn't pay attention to Peter's response. Lord, Master, we've been working all night long and caught nothing. We've been toiling. That brother's ready to go home. Jesus didn't want him to go home that way. And that's how you got to be. Now, I'll say this to you. There's some of us who call ourselves praying for people and help them, and you really don't have, you haven't locked into the transformation of the situation. You understand that? Okay. When Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep, irregardless of Peter's response, Jesus saw his resolution, his solution, and he wasn't going to let Peter talk him out of it. That's how you have to be in your personal life so you can be that for someone else in public life. See, sometimes we use prayer as just to tell a person, I hope it works out for you. I'm with you. I hope it works out. You know, God can do it. And if they ask you, are you sure he's going to do it? I really hope so. And then sometimes we'll say, you know, because we want to be really spiritual and we want our friends and family to see us as spiritual. Oh, I believe he'll do it. Do you really believe? I really hope so. But you got to lock in because you got to renew your mind. See, once you really become convinced of something, no devil from hell can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Jesus would not accept what Peter said. That's why he never addressed it. He didn't respond to it. He didn't tell Peter, but trust me. He said his word, and now it was on Peter to respond. Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I let down the nets for a haul. And so that's what you got to understand. It's going to take. I have to become disciplined in my conscience, my awareness, to where I can't be talked out of it. Let me ask you this real quick. What have you been allowing yourself to be talked out of? Meaning what you believe in God for. Why have you been allowing yourself to be talked out of it? Well, Pastor Mark, I'm not allowing myself to be talked out of it. Then why you don't have confidence in it happening? Because when you have confidence in something, you're secure. When you have confidence in something, you're stable. When you have confidence in something, you're strong. When you have confidence in something, you won't let it go. And that's how you have to, my brothers and sisters. You have to stop trying prayer and become convinced about your prayer. Am I making sense? And then number four. When I renew my mind for quality decision making. When I renew my mind, it will build quality decision making. Everyone say a quality decision. Now, what is a quality decision? It's a decision you will not back away from. It's a decision. Once you make it, no matter the pressure, the problem, or the pain, I'm not backing away from it. That's a quality decision. It's one where once you make it, your mind is locked into it, and you know I can't back off. Most of us don't live by quality decisions because many times you make decisions that you always change. You got to get to this place to be a man of power, a woman of power. You have to learn to operate by making quality decisions to where you cannot compromise. You can't go back on. That's why Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and will he not do it? Hath he spoken and will he not make it good? God makes quality decisions. He is a God of integrity. He is a God of faithfulness. He's a God of his word. And you and I have to become that way. You want to see God move in a whole nother level in your life, you have to build your quality decision making. I'm going to make a quality decision. How many times have you told the Lord or you felt the Lord told you, get up, meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then you said to yourself, oh, tomorrow I'm going to start getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning, you said, okay, I'll try tomorrow, the next day. No, you a quality decision, one that you won't back off from. Make yourself do it. What can you make yourself do right now? That's how you got to be. All right? And then finally, when I renew my mind, I will build strength for consistency in action obedience. When I renew my mind, I will build strength for consistency in action obedience. When I renew my mind, I will build strength for consistency in action obedience. All right. When I renew my mind, I will build what? Strength for consistency, strength for consistency in action obedience. Remember, you always hear me say this. Within consistency lies the power. Learn to become more consistent and not rely on your feelings. Don't rely on your feelings. You're not going to feel like it. Listen, you're not going to feel like it. You're not going to always have the right thoughts about it. So you got to build strength for consistency. I'm going to be consistent. That's what maturity is all about. To where you can become consistent. Now, let me ask you this real quick. When you're trusting somebody, anybody, you can put somebody on your mind. What are you looking for? Consistency. A proven track record. Reliability, yes. You wanted them to be consistent in raising our kids. And then when they became adults, I used to always tell them this, because when your adult children come to you, they come asking, but they're really just checking it out. And then if you're not careful, they'll throw it back at you. But you said. So I would always tell them this, trust my track record. Trust my track record. Say, right now, I know you're thinking this and you feel like this, but trust my track record. Haven't I been consistent with you? And that's what God taught me in raising our kids. And those of you as parents, you're going to have to learn this. See, a lot of parents think you ought to trust me because I'm your parent. Uh-uh. No, they're not. I'm telling you. People are looking for consistency. And you think they ought to trust you? Well, you know, I brought you in this world and I take you out. No, it don't work like that. Or don't do as I do, just do as I say. It just don't work like that. They want you to be consistent. God said, watch what you say to your kids and keep your word. And they would always know if I told them, you got my word on it, they would leave. Now, when they would come back and ask, I said, now you're showing me that you don't trust me. And if you don't trust me, then you already have affected our relationship. Because I was teaching them, if they learn to trust me, then they'll be able to trust God. When you're looking to trust somebody, you're looking for consistency. Now, here's the thing about it. Can you trust yourself? That when you tell yourself you're going to do something, do you really follow through and do it? Because listen, if you don't believe the words you speak to yourself, you ready? The angels won't believe the words you speak for God to carry out for you. You have to develop consistency. We always talk about the power. I'm fasting for the power. But when you going to fast to discipline yourself? See, we never think about fasting for something like that. No. You can't manipulate God in this. You got to renew your mind. And you have to build strength for consistency in, why do I put action obedience? Because you really got to act, because there is no consistency in delayed obedience. You just chose not to do it. There's inconsistency in that. You got to have action obedience. I'm doing this. I'm going to make myself do this. And that's what I want to encourage you all in. Now, let's end today with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You should already be there. Verse 10, right? I want you to see this. I'm going to end right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Did y'all get something today? Look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Let's read it again. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Now catch this. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit. Multiply seed and increase the fruit. God multiplies the seed and increases the fruit. Stay with me. Multiplies the seed and increases the fruit. So God says, every seed sown, I multiply. That's not just money seed. Every seed sown, God says, I multiply. See, we got to renew our mind. He multiplies every seed sown and increases fruit. So put this down in your notes. Multiplication and fruitfulness are connected. Multiplication and fruitfulness are connected. They are actually manifestation twins. Multiplication and fruitfulness are connected. Multiplication and fruitfulness are tied together. So fruitfulness, say fruitfulness, fruitfulness is the product of the multiplication principle at work. Fruitfulness is the product of the multiplication principle at work. One more time. Fruitfulness is the product of the multiplication principle at work. So when fruitfulness has taken place, something has multiplied. Fruitfulness embodies the potential of the multiplication factor process. So we're going to end right here by showing you this. You got to renew your mind. God multiplies seed sown and increases fruit. So I got to change my way of thinking. Watch this, Chris. If God multiplies my seed sown, then I'm never at a disadvantage. If God multiplies my seed sown, I won't ever be able to see myself lose. Because God multiplies seed sown and increases fruit. Watch this. Watch this, Cynthia. How many watermelons are in one watermelon seed? You don't even know. Because every seed contains a different number. God multiplies seed sown and increases fruit. So, watch this. When you're doing something good, you don't stop and say, I ain't gonna do it for them because they never do it for me. You just cut off your seed. That good action was a seed God wants to multiply in your life and increase fruit from it. When you do something like this, I'm not gonna forgive them because they know what they did. I'm not forgiving them and I'll show enough, won't forget. You've cut off your seed. The seed of forgiveness. God multiplies seed sown and increases the fruit. Listen, when he increases the fruit, it's always more than what was done to you before. But you got to renew your mind. If not, you'll think that, no, I can't do a God's word because I'm going to be done wrong. I can't give because then I'm not going to have enough. I can't do that because I'm going to be at a loss. No, God, we're renewing our mind. And to do this, you'll have to talk this to yourself all week. God multiplies seed sown and increases the fruit. God does. He multiplies seed sown and increases the fruit. Listen. Not only does he multiply seed, he gives you all seed to sow. So think about this. Think about this. Every time you had a thought of doing something good, it wasn't just you thinking it. It was God planting a seed for you to do it. I know you think you're in control. I know it. I know you think you're in control. I know it. I know it. I know you think you're such a good person and all that and other people are wrong. No, listen to me. Listen to me. Every good action you wanted to do, God planted that seed in your heart to do it. Every good action. You got to understand, on earth, you are a receiver, not a controller. So, just like I receive good thoughts, I also receive bad thoughts. It's up to me to resist the bad thoughts and hold on to the good thoughts because I'm a receiver. I know we got cable TV and got streaming and all that now, but back in the day, telling my age now, but back in the day, when we used to have rabbit ears, y'all don't know nothing about rabbit ears. We used to have rabbit ears. And then you was hoping that the channel came through clear. And then you tell somebody had to watch the TV and the other person be up there. Hold it. Now shift a little bit. Just shift a little bit. Now bend it back a little bit. Hold it. Right. That's it. Right. Stay right there. Don't move. Stay right there. Oh, you messed up. And then you had to do it all over again. That TV was a receiver. The TV was a receiver. The TV didn't control the station. The station was coming from the broadcasting station. You are a receiver. So I tell people this all the time. Thoughts come to your head like birds fly over your head. You cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from making a nest in your hair. You can't stop a thought from coming to your mind, but you can prevent a thought from staying in your mind. Every seed God gives you, he gives you thought seeds, action seeds, motivation seeds. He tells you, be motivated by this. You determine whether or not you're going to follow through. He said, be inspired by this. You determine if you're going to do it. You have that thought, do a good deed for that person. And then either you're going to do it or you're going to say, they didn't do nothing good for me. You canceled out the seed. And God multiplies seed sown and increase the fruit. That's where you got to begin renewing your mind. You have to understand every action I make, every word I speak, every thought I think is a seed God has given me to sow, meaning put into action so that he can multiply. And when you understand God multiplies seed sown, you're not going to mind being nice. You're not going to mind being nice. You understand God watching this. God is watching this. When you're going to control your words to one another, you ain't going to mind because you understand God's watching this. He wants to multiply seed sown and increase the fruit. He multiplies seed sown and increase the fruit. To operate and renew your mind for multiplication, you have to start there. After you capture the revelation, it is God's will for me to live a multiplication lifestyle. God multiplies seed sown and increase the fruit. You received this today? Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.